Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
There's so much cat hair here.
I know.
There is so much cat hair here.
It's because you picked it up by the back instead of the neck.
We love cats, except for Rick.
I think you've ripped my cat's back off trying to lift it up onto the...
Nah. Do you know what? Do you know what normal people find interesting?
What's that?
Like 9/11. Was that an inside job or, you know?
9/11 is one of my biggest passions.
Oh, you're a freak. You've seen every YouTube video about this, haven't you?
I've watched so many documentaries. I've seen so much footage. And I think something about these big events is you always remember where you were when it happened.
All right, can I shock you with something?
Yep.
I remember where I was when this happened.
I do as well.
However, cop this.
Yes.
I was upstairs at high school and I was about to walk down the stairs to go to lunch.
You would have been about year nine?
Yeah, actually.
And
yeah.
That would have been 10 hours after the first plane hit the tower.
Oh, yeah.
Mate, I don't know. Anyway.
I do.
It was after, we weren't going to lunch. It was after first class or something, so it was early in the morning, so it might have been first tower.
It happened regardless. At night time in Australia.
Mm. It happened regardless. At 10 p.m.
Mate of mine said, did you hear that the towers have been hit? And I had absolutely no idea what he was talking about. I'm not trying to say that to, play down the whole event. It was obviously huge and tragic and changed the world.
Laughing at you.
But he said that to me. He said, what do you mean? The Twin Towers in America have been crashed into by airplanes. Mm. And I was like, oh, okay. No idea. And then I went home and I got frustrated that I couldn't watch Cat Dog, I think it was. All the normal programming? All I can see on TV is these two buildings going.
How good is Cat Dog?
Cat Dog was the best ever. Cat Dog.
All right,
cat
just quickly. Dog.
Living in just the world quickly, with a cat dog.
Just changing the subject, we'll come back. What is your favourite all-time childhood show from Animals of Farthingwood?
Rugrats.
Oh. Rugrats was
huge. Do you know what?
William's Wish Wellingtons.
Animals of Farthingwood I watched.
Yeah.
And I had a real emotional connection to it.
Angry Beavers.
But it's fucking shit. I think Cat Dog and Angry Beavers, that sort of, that era was, that was my thing.
All right. This is my thing. So I woke up and I went upstairs and...
Oh, we're back to 9/11.
I was, okay. Absolutely we are. And I'm ready to watch my favourite show, Dragon Ball Z.
Yeah.
And I go to turn on the TV and the very channel, Cheese TV, that, hosted Dragon Ball Z, the first thing I saw was a building on fire. And I'm like, this sucks. Like, something's obviously happened to sort of, make them put on something else. Anyway, as I watched further and further, I realized that this wasn't just a random event. This was, something very serious. And it always stuck in my mind. That was the moment I found out that 9/11 had happened was when I went to put on Dragon Ball Z and that's what I saw. Oh. Went to school that day and this girl in my class was like, oh, did you hear about... And the teacher was just like, I know, we'll talk about it in a sec. And then we just had a full-on hour chat about what had happened. And by the end of school, I remember just thinking how messed up this was. And the next day... my mum had bought the advertiser paper and it just said Terror in the Sky. And it had
that
scary image of the North Tower on fire, the South Tower that was about a second away from being hit, and just the plane just coming in.
Mm.
And I thought, this is something that we may never see again. This is really serious. Yeah. This is really scary.
Yeah.
And I reckon the world was never the same again. You go to the airports these days, how tight is security? The world changed, man. It really was a
Massive deal.
Do you remember Windings? Do you remember the whole thing with Windings?
Yeah, and that 9/11. Conspiracy theory about the Word doc. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
You're right, I think, what was it? Right, September 11 or 9/11 in Windings. Yeah.
And then it was two planes in two towers or something.
It was like the Star of David, and then the towers and the aeroplane.
Yeah.
Crazy. Dan, Rick, are you too big on the conspiracy theories about 9/11 or any conspiracies for that matter?
Well, that would entail me watching stuff, and I don't do that. Yeah. So I might have to check out here. But I don't really know. Is it a conspiracy or not? Is there substance to people saying that it was, I don't know?
I think a lot of people, particularly with 9/11 and any conspiracy out there, you know, MH370 is people like to think that something more happened than what actually happened because it's interesting. Like, the truth sometimes, Dan, is a bit boring. Would you agree? Like,
people want to know that there was a better reason for something that happened than what actually happened.
And accepting the truth is very boring, and I've never been a fan of it because anyone, particularly 9/11, that believes that it was a conspiracy and wants to talk that up, do you really think that they care about the families that are connected with the victims of these
terrible
tragedies? No one would give a fuck because all they're interested in is in their own little world, their bubble.
But it would be interesting to speak to someone, not that's been in a documentary that said their piece, but to actually speak to them and go, what do you think happened?
Yeah, yeah.
Because you'd get a completely different outlook from them because they've spoken to people, probably heard stuff that we haven't heard.
Yeah, yeah.
What do they say?
Now, one of the biggest arguments, and you've heard this quote, I'm sure you two have heard it many times, is fire doesn't melt steel beams. Now, that's referring to the plane going into the North-South Tower, right? And it's talking about how the fire wouldn't be hot enough to melt the steel beams for the towers to collapse. Now, the fire never melted the steel beams. It weakened the steel beams. And therefore, weakening the steel beams, the towers collapsed. And that's how it's collapsed. So people that come in and say, oh, the fire wasn't hot enough. It was hot enough to weaken, not completely melt, which is like the main argument. And that's where...
But a lot of people go, and one of the biggest arguments I see is it falls like a demolition. It's so similar to demolitions that you see all over the world with older buildings that are no longer in use. Down, bang, out to the side.
So how tall were the trade towers? 1,300 feet, right? So how many opportunities in life have we seen a 747 plane crash into a 1,300-foot building in the middle of the city? How many times have we seen that example, and we can only go on the knowledge of what happened? How many times have we seen that happen to then take that and go, all right, well, that's how it should happen? Fucking once, and it's September 11th. What is a very rare event. There's a massive building, a plane crashes in, weakens the metal, they collapse.
Okay, I hear what you're saying, and it's a very, very good point. You need a backlog of evidence to prove that something happens a certain way.
Yeah.
But tell me this, if the plane hits the top of the tower and the top bit of the tower is on fire and it collapses into the bottom, surely the bottom has some integrity to make the top fall over the sides and still remain standing.
Yeah. I mean, you can argue all day, like, oh, the tower should have collapsed this way. And it doesn't make any sense.
I need to be clear here. I'm not one that says that the way it fell was suspicious or not. I'm just saying me, like, with a dumb brain, thinks that doesn't really
check
out with me.
Yeah.
You obviously think that it's not conspiracy.
But here's the thing. I've been so caught up in it. Like, it has interested me so much over the years, and the whole event to me was just so amazing and incredible and, like, fucking scary that, like, I look at it and I go, do I genuinely think that it was a conspiracy? And, like, no, I don't at all. And I've seen so much footage, and I just think the people that are trying to cling on, like we were saying before, are they genuinely thinking that it was a conspiracy, or are they just trying to
find a way out.
Find a way. Like, I need to know something else.
I don't know. Are they?
So hang on. My question is, do you think if we could simulate it again, so rebuild an exact same building, crash, hopefully, you know, remote control, not another human field plane,
yeah,
but crash a plane into it, do you think that the occurrence would be similar? Not the same, two things like that are ever going to be exact.
I would say it would be similar, and even if it wasn't and it was different, that wouldn't lead me to be like, oh, September 11th must have been... You know,
so what are your thoughts conspiracy. On the government doing it for financial benefit?
Here's a question. So, like, they said, all right, well, if it was a conspiracy, then what happened? And they say, well, it was a demolition. They brought the towers down on their own. What was the benefit of bringing the towers down in the first place versus planes crashing into them? You know what I mean? Like,
well, I'm sure someone in finance could probably give us an answer to that. And I don't think either of us are in finance and could give a reasonable answer, but...
Do you know what? I reckon we could talk about this all day, and just like the last, how long has it been now? 20 years?
Yeah.
Has proven, we're not going to find the answer out. No. However, you did mention something before, MH370. So now, let me talk about one thing.
Yeah.
Twin Towers, that is etched in the memory of history forever.
Yeah.
MH370, when's the last time you ever heard of it?
I hear of it all the time.
No, you do because you look it up every day.
I do. I look it up once a month. And this is no joke. No joke. Fucking look it up every month. Yeah.
But like, to the listeners that's out there, just and
disappeared.
They will relate. Like, people that are like interested in the conspiracies, you will always go back to it every now and then. You'll be like, I've got to revisit that. How did that happen? You have your own ideas. And whether they're true or not, does it really matter? But I know you've been very caught up in MH370, Dan. So tell the audience what your opinion is.
This is my fucking favourite thing, right?
That little thing you just did then was like you stretching your hamstrings and...
Is that like Mr. Burns?
Yeah.
Just limbering up.
I just fucking love it. All right. Okay, here's the thing. I watch a lot of Air Crash Investigation.
Oh, my God. That is the fucking best show,
isn't it?
On television. It's so interesting.
It's so interesting.
And you know what the funniest part about it is?
What?
If you're watching...
There's no funny part about it, really.
Oh, well, all right, that's a bit dark. But if you're watching Air Crash Investigations and the pilot is being interviewed, what do? You switch to the next episode because you know that the pilot survived. The more entertaining the episode is, the more people that die. And I know that's pretty dark.
I've never switched episodes.
No one wants to watch an episode where like they're survivors.
Oh,
you want to watch the most gruesome, horrible accident.
You want plane into mountain smash.
Like I want like 200 people dead, everyone's gone, there's a few survivors. Yeah, that's my thing.
Fucking hell. No, I'll watch all of it, but when I saw this plane go missing, now I have a fear of flights, which you know, because remember.
That's why this is interesting, because I hate flying as well. Heights.
Really?
Yeah. And skydiving. The thing is,
Dan made me hold his hand on the runway taking off.
Yeah.
And we were coming down on our way to Sydney.
Yeah.
That doesn't surprise me one bit.
Not so like gay now, am I?
Just like that.
Oh, was it that gay?
Yep.
Oh, very gay. I love you. No, look, honestly. Yeah. I'm just one of those people that have seen all 18 seasons, and that's a lot of seasons for a lot of planes to go missing. And I'm talking 20 episodes a season. You work that out, and they haven't even covered them all, all right? A lot of planes. All right, gone.
60 episodes.
Now, so I know noises on planes because I hear them on the show, and they explain them, and that's fine. But the turbulence and then you're sitting there with your drink, your little shitty drink that you've fucking waited 45 minutes for.
It cost about $7.
Yeah.
It should have been about $1.
Yeah. And you're like, yeah. And then you see the flight attendants and they're fucking like just as panicky. And they give you that look like everything's going to be okay.
It's reassurance.
Yeah. Isn't it? Yeah.
But really, they're probably like shitting themselves
and
as well.
You know, they've been on 4,000 flights compared to your 27 and they're fucking shitting themselves. And you're like, oh, good. Yeah, this is fucking great. I can understand how these people on MH370 were feeling. Now, on one condition.
Yeah.
If it was hypoxia. Did everyone just lose oxygen, including the pilot, and the plane miraculously just disappear?
Because the pilot cut off the air supply to the passengers.
I don't know.
Because it was a pilot suicide. That's my opinion.
We're talking about, what was it, 239 people on board with 12 crew. So
yeah,
out of those 12 crew, if it's not hypoxia and it's not pilot suicide, which everyone has come to the conclusion of.
That's my opinion, but...
The other ideas are basically hijacking, electronic hijacking, which is like basically finding a part that's outside the cockpit and hijacking that and turning the plane off and then doing whatever you want with it.
Flying it remote.
Yeah, flying it remote. I've seen even a documentary that's come out. What's the name? It's a segment from a French investigator who is now... watch this.
And sounds trustworthy.
She was saying that baby... she was...
Baby.
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 She was saying that...
Baby, the plane crash.
It's pretty much what she sounded like. She was saying that she was investigating this solo with a crew, and I'm not talking about just some French girl on the street. She had something on, and she looked professional, and I believed her. But anyway, she's getting like a BBC interview. And she was saying basically that a lot of the information that was given about the plane turning and doing all this other stuff was speculative, as in, oh, that's probably what it did.
What if it went there?
Yeah, that's probably what it did. At the time, when they took the information, that's probably what it did, but not definitive.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get half gallons of delicious Kroger milk for $1.29 each. Then get flavorful Tyson Natural Boneless Chicken Breasts for $2.49 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And since she's gone, I'm taking all that information and I'm wiping the blackboard and I'm starting again. She's done more digging and figured out that there could be a lot more other possibilities. Now, this podcast is not long enough for me to go into it, but she basically said that other army bases picked up different radar signals that could indicate that this didn't even go near that seventh arc that everyone's talking about, which is the Indian Ocean. It actually went a completely different direction. So hold your horses, because Malaysian Airlines have launched a new investigation, $70 million to go and have a look for it in a different spot after the Australian government spent $200 million looking down that Indian Ocean area.
So what I heard was everyone knows where it is.
Are you talking about fucking Garcia, the American base?
Or you just don't want to know where their assets are. So
is it a case of the more Malaysian Airlines say, the more chance they're opening themselves up to, you know, liability in terms of...
Oh, my God,
like,
mate, you've got 15 pages there. All right, I'm going to stop you because I know you love this. And we talk about this, the most...
Say one more thing? This is a real fact. Now...
Turn the page again.
No, I've got it where I want it. I'll tell you this. Did you know that the cargo, or part of the cargo that went onto MH370, was escorted by Army? Escorted by Army. And that's now proven. The other thing is that...
Human cargo or cargo?
No. So there was the lithium batteries could have caught fire and brought it down, but there was other cargo, right? They had heaps... It's proven. There was heaps of lithium batteries on board, and that... the mass amount of them caused a fire that brought it down, which is doesn't make sense because it flew for so long and the Inmarsat satellites picked it up for flying through the engine data for 7 hours or 8 hours after it disappeared from Agari. So we're talking about the people on board. All right? Four of those people on board had a patent that got approved 4 days after that plane went down. Right? And it had been sitting in this stalemate for ages before that. So all of a sudden, plane disappears, patent goes through from Freescale.
Cars that were driven with water.
What was the captain? What was his mental health state like, Dan?
Now, this is what I think the cover-up could be, and I'm not into cover-ups. I believe this could be very true too. And I'll let you take this over because this is...
Yeah.
I'm 50-50 on this. I think it's either cover-up or this.
It's this, but go on.
No, I'm done. Basically, there's a whole heap of freak. There was a 22 Chinese nationalists that had a big deal with a freescale company to do with paint that went over, like, basically stealth jets, right? Mm. And they had a big part of this patent, and they disappeared. And basically, by getting rid of them, meant that someone else could take over that patent. So, is it pilot error? Is it pilot suicide? Or is it outsider influence hijacking? I want you to tell the suicide story.
Well, I think the thing that keeps everyone on edge is the fact that we'll never know. You know what I mean? So, I mean, I did hear something. I mean, answer this. Does the pilot get to choose, in terms of flight attendants, who he'll have on board the plane? Is that a thing?
I believe that the pilot has a certain... Does he have control over that?
No.
No, they do have someone that attends to the cockpit that knocks on the door. But remember that he used to, and he had been seen with photos of him with the cockpit open with passengers. So you can't rule that the cockpit was ever secured.
But what's the story behind the flight tracking data and how they weren't able to track that? Because he must have switched it off. Like, there's no other...
It's so... convenient that they hit Agari, which is 27 minutes out of Malaysia, right?
Yeah.
And Malaysia go, all right, well, you're out of our airspace almost at Agari. We switch you over to Vietnam airspace. And now you would say, what's that take, 30 seconds for someone to call in and say, how you doing? And all you hear is the pilot say goodnight to the Malaysian Airlines and see you later. So after that...
Yeah.
The transponders are turned off, all the communications are turned off, it flies off and see you later.
I also heard that the co-pilot on that flight tried to make a call that was cut off just before things started to go wrong. So was that sort of pushed under the carpet? Like, what would have he been calling for? Well,
I don't know.
Because I feel as though if he was, maybe something, he would have known something was up.
Well, probably. Unless he's, do you think that if the pilot was in on it, the co-pilot's been taken out or in on it or what? Or do you feel like it's just...
All the information you've just put in front of me has suggested that this has been a workplace accident.
You don't believe in it. You just think it's just someone's fucked up.
I think it's a workplace accident.
It's a suicide.
Well, I don't know. Have you guys ever been in a workplace accident? Anything that you'd...
I've seen people very hurt.
What?
Yeah.
Where? JB Hi-Fi?
Yeah, just TVs falling on people, broken ankles.
What?
Yeah.
What was your what was your first job?
Me?
Yeah.
Woolworths, yeah.
Mine was Woolworths.
Yeah.
I was a cake decorator.
You're fucking not good at that, for sure. Like,
well...
I got so frustrated I couldn't say what I needed to say.
They hired me and I was able to keep up the act for a couple of years, but...
How? How many disappointed birthdays were there?
Six. Happy birthday, Crail.
Happy birthday, Carly, but it was spelt like Cranson.
No, there was this one time that I was thinking about where I almost died in the workplace, and this was an incident that changed the recipe to the mud cake recipe at Woolworths.
They took blood out of the recipe?
Correct.
Hang on.
Because of what happened with us, because I was at Woolworths at Mitcham, South Australia, they changed the whole recipe forever. So basically what happened was I was busy decorating my cakes and this baker that I was working with was he was doing his thing at, you know, on the other side of the bakery, right? So he ended up getting two pots wedged together. So you've got like a metal pot and then on top of that he had a metal pot. And he got it jammed. So in one pot was like the mud cake mixture and in the other pot was like the cream. So he was trying to heat that up. They got jammed together and he couldn't get them open. So this was all happening without me actually knowing that it was happening, but I found out later. So in order to get these things unjammed, he thought, why not put these two pans on a hot plate? And that way they would expand and then be able to separate.
Is this going somewhere?
Oh, yeah. It's going okay. somewhere.
Good.
It's going okay. vertical, right?
Okay.
So he has these two pans on the hot plate.
Yeah.
And I'm there decorating. And then all of a sudden, out of the corner of my eye, there's an explosion.
Han, when you say explosion, I expect spectacular.
All right. So this explosion was ridiculous. Like, it completely blew up. The pot blew out from the other pot. Put a hole in the roof.
That's spectacular.
Everyone came rushing in. There was about three people that were shopping for the bloody bread that came rushing in like, is everything okay? Manager comes in, questions are being asked. I look up, there's smoke everywhere. There's a massive hole in the roof and I'm going, Jesus fucking Christ. And the manager goes up to Joel, who was the baker. Yeah, Joel.
Bloody hell, Joel. Here you
are. Yeah, well done, Joel. And Joel had to explain what had happened. And from that point on, the whole recipe for that mug cake had changed to something else because of his actions. So,
really?
And I was sort of like looking at him going, if I had walked on over there just to see what was going on and I put my head over those two pots that he was trying to separate, I would have literally been decapitated.
Wow. Yeah,
I would have had my head taken off.
Do you sort of feel proud that you've changed the recipe
yeah.
for Australia?
Yeah. So, like, if you were at Woolworths,
Mark didn't change it. He wasn't the dickhead that put yeah. two pans together and put them. Oh, on the but
hot no, line. I was part of the team, the Woolworths team. But like
go Joel, like go Joel.
If you were working in Queensland Woolies, you're like the recipe to make the mud cakes would have changed because of these. Fucking dickhead group in Adelaide, South Australia that just didn't know what the fuck they were doing. But I'll never forget it because that explosion, like, if you had done that in the middle of an oval, like, that would have gone at least 70 metres in the air. Like,
it was
fucking...
See, I was looking for spectacular and I think you just hit it. Yeah, just. Good. That's pretty good.
It was crazy.
For about 3 seconds there, I was about to tell you to shut up, but then you improved. Yeah,
thank good you. Stuff.
What?
I've got three.
Three?
Probably not as a spectacular. I'll run through them real quick, right?
It better be the best two.
No, I've got to give you all three.
Okay.
I'll narrow it down to two. Okay. First job I ever had, it was like child labour, basically. I was working in a furniture, not a factory, but some guy...
Is this Sri Lanka?
Yeah. Some guy used to buy all the offcuts of timber from the mills down in the southeast. And we'd pick all the best bits and just make like bedside tables and tall boys and stuff from them, right? And there was this girl working there and she wasn't quite right in the head.
Hang on, explain that.
Like, I can't go into it.
Is it because you'll be in trouble or because...
Oh, she just wasn't. She just wasn't all there.
Like right? Normal person but just passed out or you mean like a bit...
Just can't tell you.
Okay.
She wasn't right anyway.
Okay.
One day... I was on one side of the warehouse and she was on the other and I can't even remember if I said anything to her. I was on the big plane saw, so I had these big long bits of timber feeding them into the thing and all of a sudden, you know, a nail gun has got the little safety thing so you have to be pushing it against something.
Yeah.
She had a plank of wood against the nail gun and just started firing.
At you guys.
Until the nail pushed through the wood and she was literally shooting nails across the other side of the factory. Like, what the fuck? Who does that shit?
Is she from Tasmania?
Probably.
What the fuck?
Yeah, she got deported back there afterwards.
What happened? You don't do that.
I ducked behind a big thing of wood so that I wouldn't hit.
I don't know about nail guns. I've never even used one. I'm very bad at tools. All right? Everyone knows I'm very bad at tools.
Me too.
They scare my feelings. So tell me this. If I had a nail gun and I was to shoot it in the air... And that was to make contact with me. Is that more like a problem that it might get me in the eye or the mouth? Or is it more it could penetrate the skin? Or is
mate, they're not like arrows. They're not going to shoot into you. But it's like you've got about 1,000 pieces of metal flying at you.
So it's more the eye safety than it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's still bad.
Do you want to get hit with nails?
Just stop fucking shooting people, you dumb bitch. Terrible. That's what it is. Just stop it.
Anyway, second one, I was working in a car yard and we had this guy start with us. And, you know, this is one of these guys who you give a job to because you you know, you feel like you should be doing the right thing. And he was a bit down on
his
luck.
He was a bit of a fucking retard.
Sounds like one of my first jobs when I was employed.
Anyway, guys outside were doing a yard change, moving some cars around on the yard. And one of the used car guys pulled in front of this guy and beeped the horn. And it shocked him a bit, I think. And instead of just, like, stopping, the guy went like this.
Oh, no. Oh,
and
that's not what I expected.
And went to put his foot on the brake but hit the accelerator and reversed straight into the wall.
That's what I expected, yes.
Just like,
okay. So he
huge dent in the wall, the car's wrecked, and all for the sake of just going, get stuffed.
How much did that cost him? How many?
He had to pay the insurance premium, probably $500 or $1,000.
Oh, that's not exciting. No. I wanted him to pay $30,000.
No, it was about $20,000 worth of damage.
I wanted him to go to jail.
We always want the worst. We're always the worst
so
people.
Good. On the back of that, let me tell you, I had an ex-girlfriend who, do you know that song by Fat Man Scoop? The only one that anyone ever knows? Fat Man Scoop, Brooklyn Plan, Fat Man Scoop, Brooklyn Plan.
I think I was busy being a better person when that song came out. I don't know about it.
I was busy, you know, sweating bullets at nightclubs, dancing along to it. There's a line in that song where the lady vocalist goes, love like this before.
Oh,
and the girl song that I was with at the time was adamant that that lyric was, bye bye biscuit boy. And I was like,
that makes sense. That makes sense. Nah, like, I'm all for defending people that are retarded with lyrics. Because I've got one that's going to really fuck with you. Like, this is horrible. So, ABBA, give me a man after midnight. Give me your man after midnight. Are you ready? Yeah. I thought it was, give me a letter from Vietnam.
What?
Yeah.
Get out of my house.
I know you want me to leave, but if you play that song right now, which we're on the podcast.
All right, I'm going to play it right now. Anyway.
Okay, so, look, I'm sorry, but that's genuinely what I thought. And I remember listening to it with my mate, and he was like, you know, are you sure that's right? I'm like, dude, what? Like, man after midnight? What are you talking about? I'm like,
the fact that, a letter from Vietnam.
The fact that the listeners have heard it already and we haven't, because we've just paused the podcast for a second.
Yeah.
I can't even agree or disagree with you, but I feel like that's fucking stupid.
Yeah. Seek help. I'm sorry, but like, I genuinely, like, ever since I listened to that song, because I loved it as a kid, I just got in my head is like, that's what it is. And I've completely, like, this outside noise, like, forget it.
I will see you there, or I will see you on another time.
That was very confusing. I don't know if you're going to come or not.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Save big money on everything for your next project at Menards. Spring is here, making it the perfect time for outdoor projects. Suncast storage sheds are an excellent solution for protecting outdoor lawn and gardening tools. They're easy to assemble, and the all-weather construction provides water resistance and UV protection. Save big on Suncast storage sheds. View our selection of Suncast products today in-store and on Menards.com.
Save big.